It's a Good Life, coming to you from Central Baptist Church, located at 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
On It's a Good Life today, we continue our study in the book of Romans, and we're going to pick up where we left off the last time in Romans chapter 12. Well, I believe it's very important that you have your Bible open, if at all possible, and that you read along with me as we study the Word of God together. We left off with verse 3, and I'd like to recap that if I might. Romans chapter 12 and verse 3. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Well, Paul the Apostle says, when we get saved, we're all the same. No one is better than another person, and, of course, we understand that. Speaking humanly, no one is better than another person. Well, Paul says, don't be puffed up. You need to be humble. You need to realize that you are no better than the next person. When we get that in our minds and in our hearts, even as saved people, we need to have that. We need to have that mindset so that we can present our bodies a living sacrifice to the Lord, so that we can be used of God and go out and tell other people how that they too can know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Well, notice with me now verses 4 and 5 of Romans chapter 12. It says, for as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Well, just as our body has many members, Paul is saying here, they do not perform the same functions, so the body of Christ, the church, the believers, are many members with different functions. You see, there are many functions by many members, but there is only one body, and that is the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's another reason verses 4 and 5 tie in with verse 3, because it says we are not to think of ourselves more highly than another person, because we're all members one of another in the body of Christ. When verse 6, it talks about different gifts. In verse 6, it says, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Well, notice here, gifts differing. This means all members, believers, have different, not the same, but gifts differing in different abilities, which complement each other. And it's given to us according to a proportion of faith. Well, this is an interesting expression from which we get the theological term analogy. In other words, comparison of faith, sometimes referred to as analogy of Scripture. Well, analogy of faith means that Scripture is to be interpreted in the light of Scripture and in accord with Scripture. See, the infallible rule of the interpretation of Scripture is the Scripture itself. Now, there's nothing wrong with reading and hearing good commentaries and listening to ministers explain the Word of God, but this is the reason I ask you to have your Bible open each time we study the Scriptures, so that you can follow along and let the Scriptures speak to your heart. Well, I can say a lot of things, and this is what God speaks to my heart, and because I'm sharing with you what God speaks to me about, God speaks to your heart as well through the Scriptures. Read the Word of God. Study the Word of God and let the Scriptures interpret themselves for you and to you. Well, notice with me, if you would, the first part of verse 6. The first gift mentioned here is prophecy. The Bible definition of a prophet is one who is a spokesman or a mouthpiece of God. And what he speaks as a prophet is inspired speech. It is the Word of God, the Scriptures. But we understand today that no one is able to give anything apart from the Word of God, that is, from God. There is no such thing as an open revelation of God today. God does not speak to us in an audible voice, but He speaks to us through His Word. God has given us His completed Word that we may be able to share that with the people of this world. When verse 7 of Romans chapter 12, it says, or ministry, in other words, of prophecy. He goes on to say that it could be the ministry or ministry. Let us wait on our ministering, in other words, or he that teacheth on teaching. Well, the second gift mentioned is ministry, and this is the gift of serving. This is a humble service. Now, we get the word deacon here from this word, and all believers ought to serve in this way, but some are especially gifted in this respect as deacons. They meet certain requirements. Well, deacons are biblically defined as humble servants, and may God give to each believer a servant's heart, though. You see, we find this as our Lord's example in Mark chapter 10 and verse 45, where it says, for even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give His life a ransom for many. Well, not all people are called to be deacons, but there are deacons. There are those who are called specifically in a humble way. They are to be servants. Well, the third gift mentioned here in this verse is teaching the gift which involves indoctrination. In other words, putting doctrine or God's truth into the hearts and minds of God's people by the ministry of the Holy Spirit and by the clear proclamation of the Scriptures. This is what I'm doing right now. I am teaching. I am teaching not my thoughts, not my teaching, but the teachings of the Word of God. Romans chapter 12 and verse 8 says, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. See, the fourth gift mentioned is exhortation. This is the gift of being able to comfort, to encourage, to help others. Maybe you have that gift. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 13, it says, but exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. We're to exhort each other. But to some people, this gift is given in a way that goes beyond just regular exhortation. They have this ability to comfort, this gift of comforting other believers. Maybe you know someone like it, or maybe that's you. Well, the fifth gift mentioned in verse 8 is the gift of giving. Well, this gift means to give a part of, or to impart, to contribute, to share, contribute to the needs of others in a material or financial way. That's a gift. It's a gift that's given to certain people to do more than the common ordinary Christian. It's given to some people to do more. Now, that's not what I'm trying to get across here, that from the common ordinary Christian. I don't want to use the word ordinary. That's not what I'm trying to get across here. We're all to give. But this person is given the gift of giving even more than we think of as the tithe and the offering. They give more. We're not to do this, it says, or they are not to do this with simplicity, without exaggeration, in other words. Don't go around bragging about it. And we're all to be givers, but some believers are especially gifted at this gift, and that is the gift of giving. Well, there's a sixth gift mentioned, and that is ruling. The gift of ruling means to stand before, to direct. It's speaking of leadership in the local assembly. Not all are gifted as leaders, and this word is also used of local church leadership in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 12. Of these people who are given this gift are to rule with diligence. This means to rule with eagerness. That involves giving it every effort to provide God-honoring leadership. Give it all you've got, is what it's saying here. Well, the seventh gift mentioned now is showing mercy. This gift refers to compassion, forgiveness, to ease someone's distress or pain, and showing mercy with cheerfulness. Well, we get our word hilarious here from the word cheerfulness, and it is the same word we find in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 7 and Romans chapter 12 and verse 8. And the last part of that verse talks about that. It says, cheerfulness. Now we look on and we go into verse 9 of chapter 12 of Romans, and it says, let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Love without dissimulation. This is love that seeks God's highest and best for the person loved without hypocrisy. There's not a pretense. A love that is genuine and sincere. Don't be putting on love. Some people comes up and says, I love you in the Lord. Well, they need to mean that, of course, that they love you in the Lord. And we need to mean that as we love each other in the Lord, not a pretentious love, but a real love that comes from God through us. Well, the Bible goes on in that verse there and says to abhor that which is evil. Well, this means to hate and detest any horror, all forms of wickedness. In horror, we are to detest this wickedness. Psalm 97:10 says, ye that love the Lord, hate evil. He preserveth the souls of his saints. He delivereth them out of the hand of the wicked. And Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 13 says, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogancy and the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate. Well, this word fear found in Proverbs 8:13 is a reverential fear of God. It goes on to say, cleave to that which is good, and we know what that means. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 10 says, be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. Well, this means to love dearly, to be devoted to one another, to love tenderly. It refers to the love and affection that should be found in family relationships. And we are in a family, the family of God. We're in the family that we're saved and we're to serve God together, and we are to love one another. We're in the body of Christ, and we're to love one another, not simply love, but one another dearly. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 14, the first part of that verse says, we know that we have passed from death into life because we love the brethren. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 11, it says, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Now, you see the words, not slothful in business. Well, Paul is saying, don't be idle or lazy in personal responsibilities. We're to serve the Lord fervently, not in laziness. Fervent is, when it's in the spirit serving the Lord, we are to show loving, passionate enthusiasm when it comes to serving our Lord according to that verse. Now we'll start here next time with verse 12 of Romans chapter 12. And I pray that you are opening your Bible and you're reading along with me as we study these scriptures. And certainly, we're not going to give you every answer. I'm not going to give you every answer as we go along. But we're hitting some high points here, highlights of studying the Word of God. Study to show yourself approved, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, at rightly dividing the Word of truth.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.